to take your copy of God's Word and open to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. If you're using our pew Bibles this morning, that can be found on page 516. Psalm 121. Once you are there, I invite you to stand in honor of reading God's holy and living word. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going out. Will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Would you be seated as we pray? Heavenly Father, we do pray that as we look at this ancient psalm, that we would understand how the truths sung then are just as true today. Father, through your Spirit, illuminate these words to our minds and to our hearts, that we might be the men and women that you desire us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, many people in our culture today are greatly concerned about security and safety, and that's probably because there's no real sense of safety and security in this world, and therefore we are always on the look for financial solutions and health solutions, home security solutions, and thousands of other things to help us feel safe in an unsafe world. I believe this morning that Psalm 121 is going to be a great help to us. If you were here last week, you may remember that we looked at Psalm 121. We began our work through the Songs of Ascent. They are called the Songs of Ascent because they were songs sung by the Jewish pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem for one of God's appointed feast. And since Jerusalem is about 2,500 feet above sea level, they were always making their way up. They were always ascending to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple. And this psalm was sung with confidence that the Lord would watch over them on their journey, because he watches over all of our activities of our lives. And this psalm reminds us that life is a journey that is filled with all kinds of danger, and we cannot safely make it through alone. We need the Lord. Safety and security are really the concern of every generation, not just ours. They were the concern of the generation of the psalmist. And so that's why he cries out to the Lord. And I want you to notice in this psalm the repetition of three things. First, we see the word keep, which ultimately means to protect, protection. It is repeated six times within the psalm. And then you have the word you or your 10 times. And then you have the word Lord, meaning Yahweh, 10 times as well. The Lord is either named or he is the subject throughout the psalm 10 times. So you have protection 6 times, you 10 times, and then the Lord 10 times. And the psalm, and Psalm 121 testifies really powerfully and beautifully to this fact. And you could say that this is the thesis of the sermon of today. The keeping power of the Lord, the sovereign creator of heaven and earth, preserves his children to the end. The keeping power of the Lord, the sovereign creator of heaven and earth, keeps and preserves his children to the end. If you need security, and you do, you need the Lord. You need Yahweh. And there are two reasons the psalm gives us of why you should trust the Lord to get you through life's journey. First, in verses 1 through 2, we'll see the Lord as our helper. And then in verses 3 through 8, we'll see the Lord as our keeper. That'll serve as our two headings this morning. And if you look at verses 1 through 2, we see that the hazards of traveling that day were very much different than our day. They didn't have paved roads. They didn't have highways or interstates. There were no real roads. There were only well-worn patterns across the valleys and the ravines and the rivers and over the mountain passes. And so as they over the valleys and through the woods, as they go through to make their way through to Jerusalem, they would have to travel for days. This journey was over a period of multiple days, and they would have sore feet, aching muscles. They would be very tired, and the way to the holy city would be through mountains that were filled with all kinds of danger. There was danger of slippery paths and loose rocks, deep valleys, as well as possible threat of wild animals and even robbers. I mean, there was no certainty traveling in that day. And so making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem was not without danger. And these pilgrims are heading to worship God, and there were things that caused them to fear. And so they're torn. They're being obedient to God. They're heading to the temple so that they can worship God, but yet they fear for their lives. And so he asked there in verse 1, "Where does my help come?" And the word help is key in verses 1 through 2. It means more than just to aid or to support. It's not used of one who assists you while you lead the way, that they just come alongside, that you just say to the Lord, "Okay, I'm going this way, God. And I just want you to come along and sort of just partner with me as I go my way." No, this is someone who is obeying the Lord, and they understand that the Lord is doing everything. So they are being obedient, they are obeying, but yet they realize that God is behind everything. And the word help is used of one who rescues you from a crisis that you cannot overcome on your own. And so I may ask for you to come up, someone to come up, and I say, "Hey, would you come help me move this pulpit?" Well, if I ask that, what do you naturally probably think? That I'm just going to get one end and that you're going to get the other end, and we're together going to move it together, right? But what if I told you that my back was out? I've hurt my back, and now I need. Would you come help me to move this pulpit? I am then asking you to do something that you know that I cannot do on my own. And that's usually when you run and hide, right? But that's how the word help is used in the Bible for God to us. In Psalm 121, help is protection from danger, strength and burdens, and deliverance from trouble. And this very question the psalmist poses confronts you with the fact of life. You need help. You have some issues, and you need help. The journey is long, the road is rough, the burdens are heavy, the dangers are very real. You cannot make this journey alone. And so by even asking the question, from where does my help come, the psalmist is confessing that he cannot do it on his own. His help is not going to come from those who are traveling with him. It's not going to come from within himself. And we all face the same reality to varying degrees. There are things in our lives that we fear. There are things in our lives that are pressing down on our hearts even today. We all have burdens. We all have trials. And there are fears and there are alarms. And as you look to the hills, you're asking the same question that we see asked in the psalm today. Where does my help come from? And this is a believer in Psalm 121. He's crying out for help, looking out to the hills, looking out to the mountains that fill the horizon before him as he is heading towards Jerusalem. And he sees the potential for a real threat and alarm. Where will my help come from? And that's the reality of life, that we need help. We cannot help ourselves. But look at verse 2, because the answer comes immediately, doesn't it? And notice in verse 2 that in answering this, when the psalmist cries out, from where does my help come? The answer is not just a list of things. Well, your help comes from if you do this and that. But instead, their help is a person, right? The help comes from the Lord. You need the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. You need Yahweh. And he goes into details of who this Lord is. And so this is not just an average God. This is not just the God whoever anybody wants to worship. But this is the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth. And so the Lord is maker of heaven and earth. That's where it comes from. That's where our help comes from. From the one who made all of the universe. The God who said, let there be light, and there was light. That God is with me. That God is the source of my help. God is the divine creator. And what we see here is the psalmist applying this doctrinal truth of God being the maker of heaven and earth. He applies it to his need and to his problem in that moment. This God who spoke all things in existence is my help, even as I see the danger before me. This truth is what is giving him strength to face life. The psalmist looks to the hills and he wonders where his help will come from. And he asks the question, well, it comes from the one who made them their hills. Oh, come on, church, that was funny. That is the source of the psalmist's confidence, the Lord who made the whole universe and everything in it. The creator of a thing is always greater than the thing that is created. And so if the one who created it all is my help, there is nothing that I can face in this world that should make me afraid. Because whatever the Lord created, he controls. So basically, the psalmist is saying, you know what calms my fears? What encourages me along the way when I am faced with hostility and difficulty? It is the fact that the sovereign creator of heaven and earth is with me. And the Bible wants us here to draw to the sweetness of this truth that God is the creator of all things, even the very hills in which I now fear to be a problem. And so what is there today that you imagine is a problem to God? What issue is in your life that causes you concern that cannot be put right and cannot be resolved by our sovereign Creator who made absolutely everything that exists? And all of this points perfectly to Christ. It points perfectly to Christ, the Son of God. The New Testament reveals Jesus as Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us in the New Testament that Jesus, the Son of God, who is Lord, was present at creation. Hebrews 1:2, it says that Jesus created the world. And He upholds, He sustains the universe by the word of His power. John 1:3 declares, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so Jesus is the Lord of creation. So really what the psalmist is crying out that applies to us today is that we need Jesus. The Bible even makes this clear in many of the miracles that Jesus performed. These miracles that Jesus did weren't just to show off His power as Christ. They were actually more than that. If we think of just two of the miracles that Jesus performed that specifically were on the Sea of Galilee, I believe you can find them in Mark 6 and Mark 8. But remember this, that the disciples were two times getting in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden the storms would begin to rage. So they're in the boat, the first story, they're in the boat, and they're going out there, and Jesus was actually asleep in the boat. And then the storms start raging. The disciples were going out of their mind. They're very afraid. And so they wake up Jesus, and Jesus stands up, and He rebukes the wind and the waves, and they obey Him. Why? Because He is the Lord of creation. There was another time, and they were in the boat. You would think they would stop getting in boats, but I digress. The boat's going across the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus wasn't there this time. And the storms begin to rage, and they're fearful, and they look off in the distance, and who do they see? Jesus, the Sunday school answer. Jesus is walking on water. He is coming to them. God incarnate is speaking to creation, controlling the water, and then He rebuked the wind, and it stopped. He defied the laws of nature, and because why? Because He created those laws. And the one who creates is always greater than that He created. He tread on the surface of water because He was the creator of the water. Because He was the creator of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus was able to walk on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is Lord. And so if you want help in this world, you need Jesus as your Savior, because He is the Lord of heaven and earth. The world says God helps those who help themselves, but that is not exactly what the Bible says. That is not how the Lord presents Himself in Scripture. Actually, it is more along the lines that self-sufficiency disqualifies you from divine help. To receive God's help, you must confess that you are a helpless sinner. You must stop trying to help yourself. You must run to the cross for help, because the greatest danger you face in this world is the coming judgment of God for your sin. And for that you need Jesus, whom the Father sent. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, You're in communion and fellowship with the one who made everything that exists. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. That should bring a calmness to your soul. If Jesus is your Savior, you have all that you need. If he is your Savior, you have no reason to worry. You have no reason to doubt or fear. And the psalmist is going to tell us why this is the case. In verses 3 and 8, the key word is keep. And it's seen six times in these verses. The psalmist wants us to know the very character of our sovereign God. And so the psalmist tells us that the Lord keeps his people. The Lord, Yahweh, keeps his people. And we're going to see three things here about God in these verses. If you have the Lord as your Savior, if God is your help, we see that he will be your 24-hour watchman. He will be your protective shelter day and night, and he will be your security for eternity. Three things. So first, in verses 3 and 4, we see that he will be your round-the-clock watchman. We see that in the text there in Psalm. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. A person came up and asked the Greek general Alexander the Great how he could sleep so soundly when he was surrounded by so much personal danger and so many people that wanted to kill him. Alexander replied, "Because Parmenio, my faithful guard, is not sleeping, and he is watching." Brothers and sisters, the reason that you can feel safe to go to sleep at night is because the Lord never sleeps. He is watching. He never slumbers. He never needs a break. The reason you can shut your eyes and lose all consciousness of the world around you and put your troubles to sleep, so to speak, to lay them aside, the reason you can do this is because God himself never sleeps. And in this illustration, the psalmist said, he will not let your foot be moved. The stable feet, they are often mentioned in the Psalms when people are traveling. Because when you are traveling in these conditions, you can often lose your footing. It is a very dangerous situation. So you can lose your footing. And the imagery here is he won't let you trip along the way. He won't let you ultimately fall to your destruction. And therefore, you have nothing to fear. He will not let your foot be moved. He will keep your feet stable. And the psalmist gives an example in verse 4. He says, think about how the Lord has kept Israel. He says, behold, he who keeps Israel. Now, was Israel kept because they deserved to be kept? Were they kept because they just were so obedient to God that they deserved to be kept by God? That they never did anything wrong? No, they were kept because they were God's people. They were the people of God. And he says, the psalmist says, the Lord saved Israel. Therefore, he's not going to lose you on your journey home. God was faithful to Israel throughout its history, so there's no reason to doubt God when you look at your own circumstances. If you want to know whether God can be trusted, check out his performance review. What he has done through Scripture. He has never failed those who trust Him. The same God who gave safety and security and protection to the whole nation of Israel would do the same for those who call out to Him today. And this continues to the New Testament as well. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, "I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." God will see you safely home. Nothing can ultimately destroy you. He keeps us safe in danger and during trials. It may be that you will at times fall and scrape your knee, but you will never fall to your eternal destruction. Whatever is hitting your life, if you are a believer, God will keep you. He will bring you home. Look at verses 5 and 6. He's not only our 24-hour watchman who keeps our feet stable, He's our protective shade or shelter. The psalmist sings, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." And so the psalmist here is using poetic language to say that the Lord is your protection in whatever you do at all times. Now, when the heat of the sun is beating down right now, it's cold, so this illustration doesn't have too much of an effect, but it wasn't too long ago that it was 100 degrees outside. And so you can imagine being at the heat, traveling for many days, the sun beating down upon you, it can really take away your energy. It can make you fade quickly. It can take every bit of energy that you have, and it can take all of your strength. And the right hand here, in this time, it represented strength. It was the hand that was strong. And so they often talked about the right hand being where strength is. I don't know what that means about those who are left-handed, but I'm just saying what the Bible says. So the Bible talks about during this time that the right hand is being one where the strength is. So in other words, whatever you put your hand to, you can entrust that, and everything that happens, you can entrust that to the Lord's loving care day and night. The things that can cause you to lose strength in this world, that can cause you to fret, the Lord can strengthen you. He keeps your hands strong when you feel like you're going to wilt away in the middle of danger. He keeps you strong day and night. And we know that in the daylight that you can see potential danger, potential calamity. And so there are things that cause us to fear because we can see the danger in front of us during the daylight. But the nighttime, it carries a whole different unknown with it, a whole different kind of danger because you cannot see what's lurking in the shadows. So if you've ever walked in a dark alley or down a road with no lights, and the only light that you have is the shining that's coming from the moon, that can be creepy, right? It can be a little scary because you don't know what's in the shadows. You don't know what you can't see. And so we find ourselves not only afraid of what the doctor tells us, right? But we're also afraid what the doctor might tell us. We're afraid in the daytime of the things we can see. We're afraid of the dark of the things that we can't see. And this can leave us pretty paralyzed. We feel paralyzed by the clear threat of what we can see and also by the unknown that we can't see. Our minds go to all kinds of places. Driven by fear, you can become so overwhelmed and so paralyzed by your problems that you become numb. Have you ever had a crisis in your life where it has so overcome you that you just sit there? You don't do anything? You don't even know what to do? You feel like you can't even move? The psalmist uses figurative language here to say nothing of the day or night can harm us if the Lord is keeping you. He is our shade against the visible threats of the day and the hidden dangers of the night. The Lord is our protection, our cover in every calamity. He will give you strength. Finally, in verses 7 and 8, the psalmist uses the verb, verses 7 through 8, the psalmist uses the verb keep three times in these verses and really expands the Lord's tender care for us for the entirety of our lives and into eternity. He says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. No opposition could ultimately crush the people of God. Now, this doesn't mean that we will never encounter evil, but it means that God will be there and help us. He will keep us during that time. The psalmist is saying that the true child of God will be protected by God in this life and will make it to the end. Through every trial of life, through every difficulty, through every pain, through every turmoil, through every heartache, God has a plan to keep you. He will never leave you, whether you are going out or coming in. When the psalmist says the Lord will keep you from all evil, he will keep your life. That word life there is actually the Hebrew word for soul. So no matter what tragedies you may face in this life, the most important thing is that the Lord is keeping your soul. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Well, this is a time that we easily say, well, you know, you just don't understand what I'm going through. I've lost my job. Well, your job is not ultimately your life. Or you say that I'm facing losing my health. Your health is not ultimately your life. The thing that is most important is the condition and the protection of your eternal soul. And if you have Christ, you have that. In one sense, I would say that Psalm 121 is the Romans 8 of the Old Testament. Paul says in Romans 8:38, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Right? So if I haven't put it in this list, I'm going to sum it up. Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The keeping, preserving power of Almighty God, keeping you and me through thick and thin, through all kinds of horrible events and sudden, unimaginable, difficult providences. All of this is provided for us. His keeping us through all of these difficulties is provided for us in Christ Jesus our Lord, who gave himself for us. Romans 8 also says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? If he gave us his son so that we may have eternal life, what is he going to withhold from us? When we come to Christ, He saves our very souls and He keeps us. And the point of Psalm 121 is not that we won't have problems. We know that we have problems. But that God will keep us safe as we go through. Saying the words, "My help comes from the Lord," really acknowledges that we need help on our journey. Saying that the Lord keeps us admits that left to ourselves, we would be lost for eternity. Not only in this life, but for eternity. And so what is the psalmist saying here? In verses 3 and 4, he tells us how detailed God's care is. He's taken care of the placement of your very feet on the path that He will keep your feet stable. In verses 5 and 6, he tells us how personal His care is. That He spreads His arms to shelter us from the storm, and He strengthens our hands when we are weak. In verses 7 and 8, he tells us how complete His care is. That He keeps your soul. He keeps you whether you're going out or you're coming in. He keeps us through every issue, every circumstance on this earth and into eternity. That, my friends, is good security. Towards the close of the 19th century, there was a boat carrying a number of passengers, and it was sailing from Liverpool in England to the New York harbor, somewhere in the mid-Atlantic. The ship encountered a great windstorm, and it had the ship being knocked every which way, and to make matters worse, it was in the dead of night. And so people were awakened by feeling the boat being tossed to and fro by the wind. And they feared the worst because they could not see what was going on, what was going to happen. Well, among these passengers was a little girl. She was 8 years old, and she was the captain's daughter. And she came out of her room, and she asked everybody that was panicking what was wrong. And they explained to her about the storm that was causing the anxiousness of all the passengers. And she simply asked, "Is my father on deck?" And they reassured her. They said, "Yes, yes, indeed, your father is on the deck." The 8-year-old girl turned around, went back into her room, laid down, got back in bed, and fell into deep sleep. She said if her father was steering the ship, she had no reason to fear. My friend, if God is not the captain of your ship, you will never survive the storms of this life. And you most certainly will not survive the eternal storm of God's judgment that is coming. You need Jesus. You need Yahweh. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need Him as Savior. You need Him to be your God. If you have not turned from your sin and trusted in Christ as your Savior, do that today. Do not leave here unsecure. Come to Him today. Come to Him as your help and as your keeper. But if you have trusted in Christ, if you have trusted in Jesus' death on the cross as forgiveness of your sins, if you have put your faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, if you have understood that He is the Lord of all creation and that He is the perfect Savior, you have much to rejoice about today. Because the Jesus who died for you and shed His blood for the forgiveness of your sin continues to keep you secure. And no matter what storm is hitting your life right now, you can be sure that Jesus is on the deck. and He is guiding you safely home. You can be sure that God the Father sent His Son to make sure that your life is secured now and forever. You have no reason to fear. The Maker of heaven and earth is your helper. He is your keeper. He will keep your feet stable. He will keep your hands strong. And He will keep your life secure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for its many encouragements and promises. We pray especially this morning for one another, and for those especially whose hearts are heavy and burdened. Help us to know that peace that passes all understanding as we put our faith and trust and confidence in You and in Your love and in the way that You keep us and will not let us go. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.